Welcome to the Wealth Matters Podcast, where investors come together to better understand how to build passive cash flow and create generational wealth without all the confusing mumbo-jumbo. Here's your host and co-author of Amazon number one bestseller, Alpesh Pamar.
Welcome to Wealth Matters Podcast. I am going to talk to Miss Sophie Howard today. She has started, scaled, and sold 6- and 7-figure online businesses. She knows what works when it comes to growing an online business. Sophie is here to help us find freedom with a business that works for our lives, right? And this is very important for me. As most of you guys are aware, I'm an entrepreneur by heart. I'm always looking for places to invest. I'm looking for businesses to invest or start businesses. Of course, not every time I'm successful, but if someone is going to hold my hand and guide me through the process, then I'm all for it. So welcome, Sophie, to Wealth Matters Podcast.
Thank you very much for having me. Looking forward to this great discussion topic. So really thrilled to be here. Thank you.
Absolutely. So we start with this question with every guest. Tell us something interesting or funny about yourself.
Okay, well, I thought about this because I listened to your podcast and I knew this was coming. I don't have any of those funny things, and I can't lick my elbow or any weird party trick, but one thing that was sort of unexpected and quite unusual, and it's not actually a positive thing, but it is interesting and it leads into what we're talking about, is last year I was training for a marathon, and I had, nice, in the middle of, not out on a run, but a couple of days after one, I had a stroke, and I was in hospital. Not a cheerful kickoff to a conversation, but obviously, you know, I'm talking and upright and fine now. So that was just over a year ago, but was in hospital in the stroke unit and had wires coming out of me and drugs pumped into me for a while, and came out of it luckily okay. He seemed to have dodged a bullet. So right through the right side of my brain on the MRI, it was just full of mess. So it seems to have cleared and I'm fine. And the thing about it was, as I was actually, because I had this sort of seizure and my partner drove me to the hospital really fast. But when I was on my way to the hospital, I bought an online business because I felt completely lucid. And then afterwards, the doctors said, you know, don't make any big decisions, you know, be really careful, do your rest and recovery. Don't go out, you know, buying a diamond mine in Botswana and things like, I've just bought a business this morning while I was on my way here. On my phone on the way to the hospital.
That is crazy.
But it was a good wake-up call for, you know, anything can happen to you at any time. It hasn't affected my ability to earn, and I had income streams up and running. But if I'd had a day job and that stroke had been worse, you know, I've got young children, I'm the sole earner, and would have been a different story. So A, lucky to be alive. B, really grateful I set up passive income streams that don't depend on me. I was in that hospital bed and the income just kept on rolling.
Oh, that's such a great point. And that's what we preach here as well. I always talk about creating multiple streams of income and creating as much passive income as possible so that you can earn money while you sleep. Right. So this is great. This is a good story as well. And I'm happy to see that you are doing okay as well. So, and this is a wealth building show as well as an investment show. So we also ask this typical questions to all the guests. What was your first investment and how did it work out for you?
Well, I've started businesses, so I won't count those. But the investment in my first, say, products I sold on Amazon, they were pretty good. My first Amazon product, I spent $75 on the first box of inventory, and I sold that business for $1.6 million a year later.
Wow.
It flowed the whole way. So I'll take that as a win. But property, I've been quite new to the property game. So the first real estate deal I did was only about a year or two ago, and I paid exactly $1 million. So the numbers are nice and easy to calculate, and I get a 7% yield off that here in New Zealand. So that's pretty good for here in the last few years. But, you know, there's no way to double the income by just being a bit creative, and there can be costs. And that's the best case, fully tenanted, zero maintenance, no unexpected government changes. So that's fine if you've got lots tied up. But what we'll talk about next, I think, is better, which is online businesses, so much higher returns, and got lots of case studies. I can talk about those. But my first deal was that I put serious money into, really, was a building with two residential units on top and two commercial below. And it's performing well. 7% is fine.
That's a real asset, remember. So that's the key about real estate, that you can touch and feel, right?
Yeah,
that's
and
like real
like
money.
Yeah.
But so you mentioned online businesses. What are online businesses? What are different types? Or if you can give us an example.
Yeah, well, there's a few different models that monetize websites, basically. So you can have something like a software as a service. So we all pay our Zoom subscriptions, Dropbox, or some app for some self-help thing. Then, you know, some yoga channel on your phone, something like that. Then there would be things like content sites. So a WordPress site teaching you all about how to declutter or something like that. And on the sidebar, there's adverts. And on the text, throughout the text, there's lots of links that point to affiliate products or services. And every time a reader clicks and buys, you earn a little bit of commission. So that's really a game of SEO on Google and getting more eyeballs on good quality content that gets hours of eyeballs on the ads and lots of clicks on the links. So those are a couple of the big ones. And then there's things like membership sites. And that could be in the form of a paid newsletter or a paid community. And there's a bunch more as well. So I quite like things like review sites or directories, like a really useful online resource that's very niche or subject specific. So the users actually get really good value off it. It's not necessarily selling something. And then you've got the classic kind of e-commerce, a Shopify store selling yoga mats, or an Amazon business selling candles, you know, those sorts of physical products, but sold online. And there's lots of variations on all of those. There's drop shipping, which is a different
FBA.
Form of FBA and drop shipping, been around for a while. And then there's kind of info type products. So you could have an online course,
or some digital
education. Yeah. So digital products are good. And then you can even have things like a marketplace. There's people who have things like, you know, a platform for some kind of trading, you know, crypto trading platform, or a dating agency platform.
Right.
And then there's even services off websites, like a VA, virtual assistant agency. So if you went out randomly looking for online businesses for sale, you'd see all of those, and it would be a big confusing mess if you didn't have a game plan which ones to go and get.
Now, this is great. And let's talk about, because I have been looking at online businesses as well, and some brick and mortar as well, just to try to see what would make sense with my lifestyle. And, you know, I would prefer to be an absentee owner so that I don't want to do anything. But you have done this so many times, right? And you even bought a business while you were sleeping, right? So almost. So can you share the best online business models? And why would you call them as best online business models?
Well, this is a big question, because actually it depends, obviously, on a few things. I'm not very techy. You've got an IT background. You'd be able to do many things I cannot and never could. I'm lucky in that I've been working online for 9 years now. I've started with Amazon, but don't do too much of that now. So I feel really confident in the resources I need to find on the internet. So I find that a bit easy. But basically, the variables are your tech skills and how ambitious you are, how much risk you want to take. And then there's sort of that creative side, which can be useful for some business models, but not essential. And then there's slightly more data-driven online business models, where if you're running paid ads all day, you'd better know those numbers and not be getting them wrong.
Right.
So I like any business that has recurring revenues, always nice. You know, a recurring membership fee is a great thing. So I've got some paid newsletter businesses, and they are really profitable, really easy to run, total absentee from my side. I get a Skype message once a week from the girl who runs the newsletter telling me how much money we've made. And she basically has a deal a day for authors promoting new books and a bunch of readers who get the free books. While they launch and they leave reviews and get the book ranked on whichever platforms, the authors get new readers who follow them for life. So it's a nice little service, for the authors. They book their books onto a WordPress site every day. $160, five of them a day, every single day. I do nothing. It's a really neat business. And I bought that one. So we won't go into what I've bought, but other good business models are anything that's like a really good one, I think, especially if you're starting out as a content site. So typically that would be built on WordPress, very standard templates, loads of developers, loads of designers, really easy and cheap, if not free, to set up and drive or to maintain. And then on that website, it might write reviews of, say, I actually have a friend who's just sold a business for $2 million. And all that website did was have articles reviewing different virtual private network, different VPN services. And then at the bottom of each one he reviewed was a link saying this is how you can sign up to that. And he'd get commission, an ongoing commission, because they were paying an ongoing membership to it. So that's a really cool business model, just a good content site with affiliate links. And maybe some of those VPN, you know, maybe ExpressVPN paid to have a banner ad at the top, or maybe with AdSense, there were just any old ads on the side that earned income, like you're basically a billboard on the internet, and people can pay to have your eyeballs of your readers see their advertising. So the content sites are the simplest. A big software as a service thing can be massive, but you know, you kind of hop into the Silicon Valley big startup world. Yeah. To grow those. So buying an existing one's nice, but it won't be cheap. And if you need to grow it, you probably have the skills to start your own, frankly. So, and then there's a bunch of others too, e-commerce and straight digital products for sale.
So personally, I did try to sell on Amazon about 4 years ago, and it was a disaster. So I was buying from a wholesaler and trying to sell, and it was pain in the neck. Even though I was not supposed to do much, that's what I was told, but it was still pain in the neck, and I lost pretty much every penny I put into it. So when I'm looking at business personally, again, I may be wrong, but I'm not looking for any businesses which has anything to do with Amazon or Shopify. I don't want any product where there will be returns, where you'll be dealing with customers. So I do prefer, I think the newsletter is one good way, because you can have recurring revenue and recurring subscribers as well, right? Yeah. Or a digital product or a SaaS if it's already running, up and running.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can even stitch a few sources of income into one business. So say you had a newsletter, you can have people pay to have a sponsored post in the newsletter, and you could charge the people to pay to receive the newsletter. And then you can have links in the newsletter recommending products or reviewing things, or you should attend this conference if you're interested in this space. You know, there's all sorts of commissions, or an advanced course on that topic. There's a lot of really generous commission structures around some of those high ticket offers for different niches. So I try and stick to kind of products I'm interested in generally, and things I understand myself. So I've bought some businesses that perform really well, but I haven't got a clue about the subject. So I bought one less than a year ago about learning to play the guitar. I've never picked up a guitar in my life, but this thing's flying. So use guitars and amps and drum kits. And the subscribers, you can have a community of people learning to play, and then there's an ebook that sells, but I know nothing about guitars, so I can do, you know, work. I've got a team that does all the work on that, so I don't write the new articles. But you know, I wouldn't know really if it's heading in the right direction. I can see data on the keywords, and I can see how much affiliate income and advertising income we earn, but I think from now on I'm only going to do ones I see and I love product, or you know, can get really excited that I would want to buy that myself, almost, and understand the customer better. It's not just a selfish thing, oh, it's my favorite subject. I'm looking at a ski business at the moment, and I know about skiing. I live in a ski town in New Zealand. So I can see what the customers want to buy and what their questions are when they're researching something, and just get inside their head a bit more.
This is great. And that's what actually I'm now looking at, the same type of businesses. Either they have to do something with real estate, because I understand real estate and I enjoy, or it has to do something with health and fitness. As I was telling you before we started the podcast, I love talking about health and fitness and food, the right food, not diet, but the right food you should have. So I'm looking at some of those kind of businesses because it makes sense, even if you are just trying to make money from it. But if you enjoy talking about that business, or if you are passionate about it, you would you would enjoy that money coming in as well, right? If I don't like a meat industry, then I'm not going to invest or buy something which is related to meat because I'm vegan, right? It's not going to give me full satisfaction, right?
I agree.
So let me ask you about this, because you mentioned you invested in real estate as well. Can you generate passive cash flow similar to real estate via online businesses, like truly passive?
Better. I reckon it's better. I do a bit of both. And my partner's full-time. He does commercial and residential full-time property investing and has done for 20 years. So we sort of sit side by side in the same hometown. It's a split test. There's a big difference. One positive about an online business is comparing it to a mortgage, you're mortgage free in 3 years with a 30% yield plus. So that's a typical asking price would be 3 times the net profit of the last trailing 12 months, basically, is how they usually calculate a rough market valuation. I like to think I can always get the price down by a third and then double the business when I get it. So I try and pay them off within a year. And you can't borrow for them terribly easily, the online. You know, there's no security there for a bank. Right. So it's something you need to do well if you're going to do it. It's not, you know, just throw some money at something for sale and hope it keeps working. You need to invest a bit in time of choosing the right type of business and assessing it. But you can do all of that from home and do it all online. And there's great experts in different fields and different ways, you know, to get help to learn good businesses to buy and to how to operate them. Sometimes actually, even though the banks won't lend, the vendor is very motivated to sell the business and they'll do a thing called vendor finance. So rather
call
than
it as owner financing here, or seller financing.
So that can break down your
ask you about that.
So the challenge, because I think it's a great strategy, but the biggest challenge is really that finance side. You can't borrow to buy an online business terribly easily. Some do get SBA approved. The other thing is that income stream, I can't borrow against that. I can't go and get a mortgage for a block of apartments down the road against my online income, even though it's cranking with cash. Right. The banks don't go, well, I could just go and get that website back if she defaults. So they don't like it. So I kind of operate on my wits here and really have a portfolio of income producing cash flowing online businesses. So I like to control what I can, which means I don't like to be reliant on paid Facebook ads. I don't want inventory stuck in an Amazon warehouse. I used to do that. So no product businesses anymore. And I like to buy really quality or create them. But when I buy them, it has to be a really quality product or service that would be hard to copy. So hard to copy is 20 years of indexing at the top of a Google search term. That's hard to replicate, or someone to knock it off, or intellectual property that's protected with copyright. So I've got quite a few related online businesses to do with publishing. So I sold products on Amazon, then books on Amazon, still sell a lot of ebooks on Amazon, but all the services for authors, I found all sorts of cool online businesses there. And customers on one business will often buy products in another business. So I've stitched together quite a nice little bundle of related products and services in that industry, which suits me. It's an interest of mine. I'm quite nerdy. I like books. I understand authors. I've published ebooks on Amazon for years. So that's been easy and very lucrative. So I've got some subscription businesses there. I've got one business that's just design files for people publishing journals and planners. They pay $10 a month. It's nothing, but there's hundreds and hundreds of them. So I get thousands and thousands of dollars a month.
That's the key, right?
And they love it. They save hours on design mucking around. We only have to create a bunch of assets once, which I don't do. Somebody on Upwork creates a bunch of designy stuff and bundles it up and makes it look lovely. It's really cool. So if you know what you're looking for, there's some really great deals out there. For real estate, I can only talk about New Zealand and, US and UK is different. I am English, so I know people in London, still trying to buy, my sister's in London trying to buy a house. And, you know, I'd know a bit about property markets and watching my partner. But here, the yields are very low. The banks get tighter and tighter. During COVID, you know, there was so much money being printed. House prices went bananas. Now we've all got horrible interest rates. Everyone's squealing. There's going to be a bit of mortgagee sales. It's not very pretty out there. The rents are high, but it's all pretty tight. And the government can just regulate, you know, here's a new rent fixing. Here's a new rule for our interest rates are no longer tax deductible. No consultation, no notice, boom, new tax rate, boom, you know. So you are exposed. You've got to pick your country. You've got to pick, pick your town, your region, your actual building, get the right tenants. A lot of maintenance. So I own three houses here in Wanaka, which is the little resort town I live in, and they don't really cover themselves. One's actually my old house. My parents live in my most valuable house, which is a lovely big villa in the capital city on the beach. So nice for them. But family rate on that. But no agents or anything to manage the property, which is nice. Right. And it's in good hands. And that's a really special, beautiful.
No, I'm glad that you brought up single family residence. So that is why personally in my business, we only buy large buildings, right?
Yeah.
So that you are not relying on one tenant. You are not at the mercy of government all the time. But of course, I understand the benefits of online businesses. One benefit which real estate offers is that the depreciation or tax benefits. We usually are able to, when we buy large buildings, we are able to, let's say if we buy a $10 million property, we can write off like $5-6 million in the first year.
Nice.
Are there any tax benefits of investing in online businesses?
Well, can't give tax advice.
Right. And of course, you don't know about all the US tax regulations.
Well, there's one big obvious thing which helps both sides of the transaction. If someone's looking to sell a business and about to get whacked with a big capital gains tax when they receive
new finance.
And I want to buy a business but don't want to put all the money down up front. It works really well for both parties. When I buy a business, if they haven't thought of this, I have a very nice way of explaining to them why they want to give me vendor finance that's tax efficient for them and a nice steady income stream so they can stop their business, hand me the passwords, not the keys. And they'll keep getting a nice steady income stream while they go traveling the world, but not get the full wallop of capital gains tax. And then also people like to have some secure future income. I don't know what the psychology is. Yes. People like to have more money coming in rather than all up front. I think I'd take it all up front. Thank you very much and invest it in something else. It's been generally doable for most deals to get vendor finance. And the really little ones, I just try and negotiate a good cash quick deal and make it a no-brainer, get it off the market if it's a really good one. But usually there's a lot more businesses for sale than buyers, and certainly organized buyers who know what they're looking for. There's a lot of time wasters. So when the vendors find people like me or people I've trained how to do this, they go, all right, here we go. This is going to be easy and good. And I want to sell to this person and these terms look great and let's do it. And yes, I'll discount it. And yes, I'll include this, this, and this. So it's been really good. I haven't had any duds. Everything's worked as it should or better. So that's been really good. There's been some unexpected benefits. So I've always tried to keep the team. If there's any key personnel, that's been a requirement. If somebody knows all about guitars and has to write the articles, there's a million other broke guitar teachers, I'm sure, who'd happily write articles for me. But I like to keep the consistency during the handover. So it's been really good. Like the publishing girl runs all my publishing businesses. She came just from one of them, but she's been a superstar. And I don't think I'd have found her just casting around on Upwork trying to hire someone.
Right. So one question I have, how do you figure out the competitions and what do you do? Because the online businesses, the thing is anyone can copy. Of course, they can't copy the copyright, but anyone can start the same business, right? So how do you keep track of competitions when you buy the business and after you buy the business?
Yeah, well, the type of the competition depends a little bit on each business, but something where you inherit a huge community, nobody else can go and recreate that community overnight. So you get a head start with Google, with SEO and indexing. If the business has been established with quality content for a few years, someone could just not turn up overnight and get to the top like that. Even with the smartest, most aggressive SEO, they can't catch up with those getting to the top of the search results. So databases, Google Analytics are the things I track. And then obviously the product or service has to be unique. So if I've got an online course on how to play guitar, there are other ones out there. But if mine's really quality, I've got great reviews, I've got repeat customers, I've got great ads that are, or, you know, not ads, but, you know, leads out there being converted through a funnel. If those aspiring musicians are happy and buying, there might be other products out there, but I don't go for the big mass markets. I go for a niche where I can be a big fish in a small pond. And a lot of that research is sort of keyword based, because Google tells you exactly how many searches are going on each month on different topics and subtopics, sub individual weird and wonderful keywords. So there's always something small but quality that you can kind of dominate, is what I look for. And I like a nice wealthy demographic. I don't want to be, you know, in the coupon code or giveaway industry. I want the skiers and the polo players. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. So quality products and good copyright, you know, really brand everything well. And build assets that can't be replaced, like email lists, databases. I'm not too fond of Facebook. I don't like that they can just turn you off.
You are relying on third party. Yep.
Yeah, I don't like that. And the physical products game, I've done it for years, but I see these other pure online digital only as just a bit easier.
Yes.
A bit more pandemic proof. My supply, I was selling tea from India for quite a lot of years.
Wow.
And Sri Lanka, I actually sold it to an Indian family based in New York. I sold that business as well. But, you know, the supply chains got a bit mucky with COVID. It wasn't so much the production of the product, it was the shipping and the
work in the port. The issue everywhere, yep.
Yeah, so these digital things are kind of pandemic-proof, lockdown-proof, recession-proof. So at the moment, you know, people might not be taking a tropical holiday around the world, but instead they'll learn to play the guitar or start a publishing business and need some business services. So I like a business services product rather than to consumers as well. I've got my criteria, but everybody would figure out what business model suits them, what sort of size to start with, what skills they need to patch up. Might be missing a couple, but they're all learnable. And then map out a plan. So I've got a quiz where I put people through like a profiling of what they're, you know, are they introvert or extrovert? I mean, I would be the worst person in the world organizing Tupperware parties. Couldn't think of anything worse. I'm a pretty hardcore introvert, so I'm really happy just being behind my laptop doing my thing, being creative. So I'm really creative, not so analytical. Can do the numbers, but got a science degree and master's, but don't naturally, you know, wake up and want to look at a dashboard of ad campaign performance. I'd rather be thinking how to grow an interesting business and be creative. So each
good.
To their own, an individual path for everyone.
Yeah. Oh, that makes sense. So one more question. Is it better to start an online business from scratch or better to acquire an existing business?
Oh, that's such a good question. I'm doing a bit of both at the moment. And I think some people should probably do neither. Some people,
of course,
honestly, day jobs are for you. And not listening to this show, obviously. But, you know, some people just have zero risk appetite. They want to start something and they just never, ever, ever, even with all the encouragement, all the research, they just never make a decision. So you have to, A, be decisive for both of those strategies, buying a business or building a business. When you build a business, there's a certain pride in it that's really hard to get that feeling from anything else. It's almost like raising a child. You know, you're emotionally attached, but that comes like a newborn baby too. You know, you're up all night for years building the thing. And there's a lot of sunk cost that doesn't lead to profit. You know, there's a lot of false starts or dead ends. That product failed. That ad strategy was no good. This staff member was great, then left. You know, there's a lot that goes into building a business you never see a return on. When you get it right, it's all yours. That's wonderful, really nice feeling of pride, great profits. If you want to sell it, you can. That's always a good strategy. Building a business is good, but it takes years. It's very high risk. It's a lag until you get the payout, even if you're doing everything right and it's going brilliantly, and it gobbles up all your cash on the way as well to grow it. Buying a business is an instant fast forward to that endpoint that entrepreneurs, I think, want, which is financial freedom and time freedom. So if you can buy a profitable business on good terms, that's really quality, and lets you sleep well at night and generates a nice, healthy profit consistently, you've got locked in assets, you've got locked in cash flow. If you can buy that, you've basically just shortcutted and gone straight to that future state that people are dreaming of freedom of their finances and their time. And I think that's the holy grail for most people. They work hard so they can retire so they've got money and time. Or they build a business and work really hard building their business so one day they can sell it and have money and time. But buying a business, an online business, and all of mine are absentee model. I don't want to operate any of them myself. Right. It's instant there. You know, you do a deal, you could research and learn how to do this over 30, 60, 90 days, 60, say 2 months of getting your head into this space, thinking like an online business investor, look at what's on the market, patch up some skills and, you know, get some confidence, what questions to ask, how do you assess these, who are you going to turn to for advice to assess them, do a handover over a couple of weeks. The next week, you might get a big payment from it and then it just keeps on rolling. So the general valuation is 3 years of the last year's net profit. So 3 times an annual profit is basically what you would pay. The asking price, you can usually negotiate that down and you can usually get vendor finance. So these things cash flow really, really fast. And I wouldn't ever want just one of them. I think you need to build a little portfolio because things happen as they do in life. And it would be daft to put everything, you know, bet the farm on black. But a small but quality portfolio. And then maybe some of that income you put into real estate and, you know, it's part of all the different assets and things you do in your life.
Diversify,
But it's a whole new income stream that is by far the most profitable, you know, 30, 40% is sort of standard. And a lot of them are a lot higher when they're listed for sale. You see these amazing metrics. Sometimes they are too good to be true and the owner hasn't really counted in their time. Right. And as the owner, you'd have to hire an operator. So you've got to know what you're doing, and I can help anyone who wants to do that. But I do think they're really hard to beat as an asset class because there's so few buyers. In the past, you had to be techie, which I'm not. You don't have to be techie. Right. You had to have a lot of cash, and you'd have to go and like buy something and need a team of developers. And I have so few staff. I have basically 2 part-timers. They have a couple of freelancers, you know, doing a bit of design or a bit of keyword research under them. It's a very small team that runs a multi 6-figure portfolio, and it's been really fun building it. Really proud of the businesses I own. They're not, you know, junk. They're really cool, really nice businesses that are profitable. The customers love the services or products. There's all sorts of different income streams. I've got affiliate income, ad income, product sales, service sales, books, you know, ebooks and things. You know, there's all sorts, design files, guitar lessons, you know, everything.
Yeah, you need to diversify, right? No, this is great. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing a lot of golden nuggets with my listeners. Are you ready for fire round?
Sure, let's do it.
Would you be changing business or investment strategy because of inflation or recession?
No, right now I'm steady as she goes. I'm not changing anything. With inflations and recession, the online thing's kind of buffered from that a little bit. So as long as you have quality products, you're, and across the portfolio, some of your demographics will be shopping a bit more or a bit less. But I'm not exposed to big financial markets in this model. The biggest thing that it really affects is the exchange rate, because my businesses are in US dollars and I earn, I live in New Zealand. Yes. So right now I'm smiling, but
yes.
It's not good if I wanted to fill a container of physical products. So right now, the big swings in the economy, I'm really insulated from, which is nice because in the my properties, I am more exposed. My interest rates are horrible, but the rents have gone up too. So all goes, I just kind of control what I can. And actually online, I don't need to change too much right now.
Got it. Favorite business book?
Oh, I did think really hard about this. I still love simplicity. So Well, you probably expect me to say something like the E-Myth Revisited or something.
Yes, it's great.
Techie. It is great. No,
it's
essentially
a lot to implement for a small team.
Yeah. But it is similar. It's all about that simplicity. So what I really like is a book that I think is really good for business owners. It's sort of that theme of doing less, but doing it better, which would be Essentialism by Jeff McKeown, who's an English lawyer. He's based in the States, but he just wrote one really good book about keeping things really simple, one core purpose and everything behind that. None of this scattergun, chaos, undisciplined, just, you know, nonstop mess. One strategy implemented well. And mine is now buying profitable online businesses. That's solved all the other problems.
Got it. No, that makes sense.
Great
Any
book.
Tool or website you recommend?
The one I'm using most at the moment is actually Flippa.com, Flippa.com,
yes,
which has...
I look at all the businesses over there as well.
It's addictive.
Oh.
It's like a kid in a candy shop. So it's all
businesses
for sale. And I have my eyes on stalks looking at online businesses for sale every day on there. And it's great fun. But what's really nice is that they validate the listings. So the team at Flippa go in, they validate the Google Analytics, they do a screen share call on video with the vendor looking at the Stripe payouts or the refund rate or the sales stats or the ad campaign stats. So everything on there, you obviously do your own really detailed due diligence, but it's like a lot of instant cash flows just there for the taking.
Yes.
Pretty fun. So Flippa.com is very cool if you know what you're looking for.
Awesome. Any advice for beginner investors?
You can get it wrong. And so start small and get good help. You know, I hate to see people make poor decisions. There's so much good advice. There's so many good ways to learn, you know, podcasts, books, coaches, join a program, tag along with a more seasoned investor and watch and learn by doing some deals with someone who's done it before. But there's so many, not really scams, but you know, this, I hear people taking such terrible advice and, you know, oh, I just cringe and I can't say anything. And by the time they've told you, they've already done it and they're really proud of it.
Right.
And you just cringe. So much better to protect the downside and not make a mistake than, you know, go for some great big too good to be true thing, because it probably is. So I'm really conservative with my strategies for everything I do, actually, including these online businesses. But yeah, learn by doing. And then once you really understand it, get stuck in. But the first level of understanding is not the full level of understanding. You really need to do a few deals to get your hands on. So people I teach how to buy businesses, we all, you know, start with $1,000 WordPress site, learn how to do a migration, set up all the, you know, bits and pieces you need to be a website owner, and do it all once on a little one where you're learning, not earning. And then when the deals get bigger, you know what the process is and you can just focus on the deal, not what you're doing.
Right. No, that's a great idea. How do you give back?
Well, at the moment, I have two young children and spend a lot of time with them. And so there's various, you know, school and sporting things there. I try and do some things locally. So I've got an elderly neighbour. She's in her 80s and she lives alone. So we go and, you know, stack her logs and give her chickens our food scraps. And, you know, she's really lovely and we look out for her. And it's really nice for my children because we don't have grandparents in town. So that's a really nice sort of local thing. We help her out with lots of things, driving around. And there's another lady whose dogs we walk. And so it's sort of a little thing. It's not a great big, you know, we're not making multi-million dollar contributions to international aid programs, but it's really local and it's really appreciated. And it's teaching my children, you know, the value of, you know, helping out in a community. So they're small things, but they fit in with how busy we all are. And it makes a difference to a small number of people, but in a meaningful way.
It's so important to give your time, you know, money, anyone can give, right? Money, mm-hmm. because you make money and you can give and you can be done with it, right? But giving the time is so important. Time is more precious than money.
Yeah.
Oh, this is great. How can my listeners reach out to you?
Well, I have a website, funny enough, being in the website game, where I can help you if you're interested in learning how to buy online businesses that are profitable. And it assumes you're a beginner to this, and it assumes you are not so techie, because I'm not. but it's the website is aspiringentrepreneurs.com, which if I had to name a website again, I wouldn't make it such a long one, but aspiringentrepreneurs.com. It's a good name. It's just quite long, and everyone types entrepreneurs wrong, including me. I type it a lot, and I still type it wrong sometimes. So on there, there's a free ebook on buying online businesses that you can download for free. There's a quiz that'll profile what kind of online business model would suit you. And if you go through those and think that sounds like something you want to do, I've got a course where I can teach you, give you one-on-one help and help you find some really nice online businesses to buy and start a little portfolio of your own. And it would be potentially a very satisfying and lucrative and time-freeing up strategy for you.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Sophie.
Thank you. We'll pop that link in the show notes rather than make everyone type it out.
Will do.
Thanks for listening to the Wealth Matters podcast. If you enjoyed it, please leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes so others can enjoy the show too. Have a great week and happy investing.